the hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It is 10 minutes after 12 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch, everyone. Steve Bertrand, we hope to be a calming influence over the next 20 minutes or so ahead of White Sox baseball, because the news from Wall Street is anything but calm. The Dow is currently down 723 points. That's a 2.75%. The NASDAQ down more than 3% on the day. Financial stocks led by Citigroup now are in correction territory, down 10%. From their highs. Terry Savage is on a phone line. She's about to reach down through the phone line and hold our hands and make us feel better.
I can't make you feel better.
Unless, well, thank you for calling,
Terry. Listening for the last month, so shall I get off? We've been warning and warning and warning people who can't afford this kind of risk that the stock market was very vulnerable here after the longest bull market in history, the longest economic recovery in history. And now this should not come as a surprise.
Okay, so let's, couple of things. We'll talk about what to do about that in the second segment.
And
I want to know why we're here with the stock market. But look, this isn't necessarily the beginning of the end, right? It could be up 500 points tomorrow.
Well, look, you know that quote that you always play of me, the hope done sensibly. Remember those two words, done sensibly? There is no sense, economic sense, coming out of Washington. Now, this is not a political comment. It's a statement of fact. The additional tariffs placed on China were bound to cause problems. And you saw in my column a week ago, stock market panic. Perhaps it's time to give it serious thought to exactly how much risk you can take. The fact is the president walked that back after some sensible person got to him and said, are you kidding me? You're going to start tariffs on September 15th when all the major retailers and producers of consumer goods are going to have to pay those tariffs and raise their prices or cut into their profits in order to have goods on the shelves Christmas, or else they won't import. All three terrible situations for a president, any party facing an election the subsequent year. So the president walked those tariffs back and said, oh, didn't mean that, not September. We'll do it after consumers finish shopping for Christmas.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Because people pay the tariffs or companies' earnings suffer.
He admitted that yesterday, right, after saying that China will pay the tariffs. He finally said, well, I don't want you to spend more on your Christmas gifts, so I'm going to roll these back.
And we're already, like, look at all the money the government is spending to support the farmers, because China's buying no soybeans and corn from U.S. farmers. I mean, that's a big global market. They could ship their soybeans to Brazil and then ship them to China. But the point is, we have really seriously messed up global trade at a time when Europe is already slowing and bad news from Europe. We've messed up the Chinese economy, and they do import from us. And they do support our economy by buying treasury securities. This is amateur hour in Washington, D.C. when it comes to trade. And for you as an investor, it means there are no sensible rules to follow anymore except capital preservation and self-preservation.
Okay, so one of the things you write about in your column, and again, we'll do this later, but it was about how little people know kind of about their situation. And frankly, I'm one of those people, I think, and I like this show to be a show for those people. Not for Wall Street traders. So explain for me a little bit about the Chinese currency and their devaluing of it, and how that has who that helps and who that hurts and why they're doing it.
You know what? That was last week's story, with all due respect, the fact that the Chinese were trying to make their currency cheaper to offset the impact of the tariff, so $1 could buy more Chinese stuff if their currency falls. They've actually been supporting their currency all week, not letting it fall. What happened really to trigger today's decline is something that it was never discussed on lunchtime radio. Long-term rates slipped, U.S. Treasury bond rates slipped slightly below the shorter-term rates. The big term is called an inverted yield curve. I'll explain that in a minute, but every time that's happened since 1969, within 18 months, there's been a recession. Now, the fact is that we were due for a recession anyway. We've had the longest economic recovery in history, so it's been 10 years. So you don't have to be a genius to say a recession is coming. Now we have this one indicator that female professionals used to watch, that suddenly the talk of the evening news and the lunchtime business radio. And because we know there's going to be a recession, and now we've probably boxed it sometime in the next year or so, do you think the stock market is going to sit around waiting for a recession to cut into corporate earnings, a signal to sell stocks? No. Everybody knows it's coming. We've got a confirmation of that with this index. And so people are selling stocks now. We're about 25,500 on the Dow now. When you started buying in 2008, the Dow was 6,700 at the bottom.
Okay, we're looking at the numbers, and I was going to get to the yield curve. I wanted you to explain that. That was on the table. But so the S&P 500 we're looking at, it's actually probably at this point down a few points from the year, right, when you go year to date. Year over year, it's still up, but it's down so far this year.
Well, we have some indices that are down 10% now, some down 6 or 7%. The point I'm making is never before, this is really critical, Steve, in all of the previous, maybe except for 2007, 2008, never before has an entire generation been responsible for making stock market decisions on so much money. And let me explain what I'm saying. Always in the past, pension fund managers, you could count you were going to get your $2,500 a month check, and the pension fund managers managed through losses. They were the professionals. But now we have the baby boomer generation coming to retirement, tasked with the fact that they suddenly have, relatively speaking, for most people who put money in their 401ks, a huge pile of money that grew dramatically, not because you made brilliant choices, or I did, but because the market was up so very much over the last decade. Now people are approaching retirement or in retirement, and they have to make decisions not based on the long-term horizon for America and the future of the stock market, which I've always been bullish on America, but on how are they going to take this X amount of dollars and invest it now when they have a much shorter-term horizon, are not adding new money because they're retired, so it's not putting new contributions into this money, and they're thinking about, wait, number one, this is all the money I have. Number two, I'm going to be required to start taking some out. And number three, what happens to my lifestyle if, like in most average bear markets, the average bear market since 1929 lost 37%. We've had three that cost you over 50%. I'm trying to forestall the panic. This is not the day to panic. This is the day you still have plenty of breathing room here to sell down to the sleeping point, which is the column I just posted.
The Dow down 714 points, kind of pretty much where we started the day. Not the day, but the program, I should say. Terry Savage is on the phone line, and she wants to help you sleep. Right, Terry?
I do. Look, a week ago, please go to terrysavage.com, read the two most recent columns. A week ago, I posted a column that started by saying to you, really, it's time to be worried about the stock market. It explains why. I closed that column with these lines. The challenge for stock market investors today, what's your time horizon and what's your risk tolerance? I've been asking you to consider that for more than a year. It's a little late to find out now, but not too late. That's the Savage truth. That was last week's column. And I was flooded on my Ask Terry blog with so many questions that were so similar. I realized that people, I have a bigger even awakening at the challenge facing ordinary investors who are now rolled out into IRAs have to make decisions.
This goes to what I've been saying over and over. You know, as we have more control over things, we have more responsibility and more risk, really, that if we, you know, it used to be a pension system where someone else took care of it. Now, if you're not taking care of it, you could be making some big mistakes.
Exactly. So out of all those questions, I realized three things, and that's what I wrote about in a column I posted last night called Sell Down to the Sleeping Point. Here are the three things I realized from you. So many of these questions get posted. My column goes around the country, but I a lot of you write in. I listen to you on the Business Hour with Steve. Here's my question. Here are the three things I realized. Number one, most people really don't know their own risk tolerance. And that's not a surprise, because you never confront this issue until you get scared about the possibility of losing money. And so the first question you have to ask yourself right now is, how much money am I willing to lose? Not how much higher could the market go if I listen to Terry and take a lot off the table now, but how much am I willing to lose? Now, you don't want to say, I'm not willing to lose anything. That's a common answer. Obviously, you're going to live 25, 30 years in retirement. You need stocks because they offset historically. They offset inflation, which can, even low inflation, can devastate your portfolio.
The question implies that there's an emotional answer, and this isn't an emotional question.
It's not an emotional answer. It's a real factual analysis, which I hope you have a fiduciary advisor to go through. And then the second point that I realized from all these questions, many people do not know, number one, whether their investments in the stock market are owned outside their retirement account or inside their retirement account, which is important. And they don't know really what the funds they own are. And they don't know how to find security and safety and, quote, take some money off the table. This is your chore for today and tomorrow. I mean, the market's not going to zero in the next 10 days, but you could lose some money and you want to be thinking about where can I hide. Inside my 401k plan, there's probably something called a stable value fund. Rarely is there a money market fund. In an IRA, no matter where your IRA is, you can always have some of it or all of it rolled over to Fidelity or Vanguard and put it in the money market mutual fund. You won't get rich there. You won't get very much interest at all these days, but you won't lose any money. So you have to understand what you own and where you can hide. Treasury bills you can do with your own money outside a retirement plan. But you can't use an IRA, put an IRA in Treasury bills. The government won't be a custodian.
One of the things you say in this column is to sell half of what you're half.
All right. So
well, let me finish it. To sell half your position, which seems pretty drastic to me. What do you mean by that?
Wait. Well, the third revelation of this thing is most people have no idea whom to trust. I have no I never sell anything. I don't sell anything. I'm trying to tell you to trust your own instincts right here. I hope you have a fiduciary person, a salesperson, not a salesperson, not a broker, somebody that you know really has promised in writing to put your interests first. That's the person you need to hold your hand. And if you don't have that, I'm going to give you, this is not a great financial insight. I'm trying to rescue a bunch of people. I don't know if the market will come back soaring because of something crazy that gets done by this, by the global economy or the administration. But would you feel better if you just sold half of your mutual funds and stocks and put that money in something safe like a money market fund or, if it's outside a retirement plan, treasury bills? Now, before you do that, read this column. There are tax implications. If it's inside a retirement account, that's all going to come out eventually as ordinary income, so you don't have to worry about taxes on sale. But if you've owned stocks for years and years, even if you have a capital gains rate, you might pay as much as 20% in taxes.
People,
if you're very old and you think you want to leave these stocks to your kids, if you die, their new cost becomes the value on the date of your death.
All right,
will never pay capital gains.
It's all spelled out at terrysavage.com, so check it out there. Terry, we're going to run for White Sox baseball. Thanks for joining us this week.
I want you all to run for safety now, not when the market's panicking at their lows. That's the Savage truth.